2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There are two reasons why people do not see. One of them is because they are in darkness. But you know, the moment Jesus Christ came into the world, they can no longer make that an excuse. Because Jesus Christ himself said in John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world, whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. We can understand why someone is in darkness, but there is no reason why we should now remain in darkness. So said the Son of God, who said he was the light of the world. I want to look, first of all, at what the Bible teaches us about darkness and being in darkness. The first thing I want to say is, a person can get used to darkness. In fact, you can get so used to being in darkness that you actually begin to think you're in the light. I used to be in the printing trade. And as some of you might know, the printing trade went through a great change way back in the 70s, 80s, when the church changed over to lithographic printing by photography. And we used to have dark rooms. I was not trained in a dark room. I was trained as a compositor. But I do remember when we had a dark room, and I remember going in once to the dark room and saying to someone, and saying, look, can you give me this order form? And he said to me, yes, go and pick it up yourself. It's over on the desk there. And I said, Murdo, I cannot see the desk. Never mind, pick up the form on it. Oh, he said, sorry, George, I forgot. You're not used to working in the dark. And off he went to a desk and flipped through some papers and got out the very order form I was looking for. You get used to working in the dark. I remember speaking to a sales representative who worked for, he sold guillotines, and it was his job to sell guillotines to Kodak laboratories. And he told me that the only condition that they would buy a new machine from them was if he gave them a price for their old machine. But their old machine was in their dark room. And he said, I could hardly see the machine, he said. Never mind the serial number on the machine. I couldn't give them a price for their old machine until I got to see the serial number of the old machine. And there was nothing for it. He says, but I went in every day to that dark room, into Kodak Laboratories. I went in there every day. And in 3 weeks, he says, I could see in the dark so that I could see the serial number on that old machine. You get used to being in the dark. My whole point in mentioning this is this. People in darkness need convincing that they are in darkness. You can say to that world out there, they're in darkness, and they'll just laugh at you. They need to be convinced. Spiritually, they are in darkness. Second thing we need to say about darkness is that darkness is not so strong as light. We often think, don't we, that darkness and light are equals. They are not. They are direct opposites, but they are not equals. Light is stronger than darkness. The Bible tells us, good excelleth evil as light excelleth darkness. Darkness and light are not equals. Light is stronger than darkness. What is the definition of darkness? Darkness, you know, is not actually an entity itself. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. That's the definition of darkness. The absence of light. At any moment, the darkness can be penetrated by light. Light penetrates darkness. Darkness disappears with light. Darkness cannot affect light, but light can affect darkness. Very important to remember that, especially when you remember that Christ is the light of the world. Maybe you're here tonight, and you say, you don't know what a dark, dark creature I am. Probably so, and it doesn't matter. But it is important to understand, however dark you are, Christ can come right into your life. I think it's helpful and important for us to note that in the Bible, the Bible speaks of different types of darkness. It speaks about works of darkness. Terrible works of darkness. The Bible speaks of the power of darkness. Do you know darkness has power? Do you know that when you realize, first of all, that you are in darkness, and you say, well, I want to go into the light. You can't. Darkness is power. Tremendous power. Not so much power as light, but the Bible speaks of the powers of darkness. The Bible speaks about chains of darkness. There are angels held in chains of darkness. You remember, even in the Old Testament, God sent to Egypt a darkness that could be felt. A darkness that could be felt. Paul is here speaking about spiritual darkness. He's speaking about the darkness of sin. But where, in fact, in the previous verse, let's just look at the darkness of mind. Bible speaks about the darkness of mind. In fact, as I said, the previous verse, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, some people say, oh, this Christianity, it's all in the mind. It is not all in the mind, but it does begin in the mind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The Bible tells us that we are enemies in our minds by wicked works. You would say, well, wicked works, that means your enemies in your hands, in your feet, in your tongue. But no, enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's where it all begins, in the mind. And you see, the unbelieving world out there, they're worried about the wrong things. They're chasing the wrong things. They're chasing bubbles in the world. That world out there think they know what's wrong with themselves. But they don't know at all because of their minds. And you see, in the last analysis, all our problems are due to a wrong relationship we have with God. All our problems due to a wrong relationship we have with God. You know, everyone has a relationship with God. Not everyone has a proper relationship with God. You've got a relationship with God. You're unconverted here tonight. You've got a relationship with God. But it's a bad relationship. It's a wrong relationship. It's a relationship that must change. But that's the source of all your problems. You might be here tonight and you say, well, you know, my problems drink. My problems, sex. My problems, drugs. My problems, gambling. No, it's not. These problems are actually symptoms of a deeper problem. Your problem, your main problem, your actual one basic problem, if you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, your big sin is unbelief. Unbelief in Christ. That is your big problem. You say, well, look, I can't begin to think of all this of religion you've got. I've got a problem and I've got to sort myself out. And once I sort myself out, then you can begin to talk about becoming a Christian and what the Bible says. Listen, friend, you will never sort things out till you first get right with God. Till you first solve your problem of unbelief. Your one big sin is your unbelief regarding the fact that Jesus Christ has come into the world. You see, where do you get that from? I get it from John chapter 16, verse 9. Do you remember when Jesus spoke to the disciples and they were broken hearted? They were, in fact, equivalent of being bereaved. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. And the disciples just couldn't accept it. And he was trying to comfort them and he tried to encourage them. And he was saying to them, he encouraged them by saying, look, if I don't go away, I'll not be able to send you the Holy Spirit. And for you to have the Holy Spirit here on earth is better for you than to have me personally with you. Now, they couldn't accept that. In fact, they couldn't even understand it, never mind accept it. But Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away, because I'll then send you the Spirit of Truth. And what was that Spirit of Truth to do when he was to come? He will convince the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. See? He didn't say, when the Spirit of Truth will come, he'll convince you of your drunkenness, and that'll stop you. No, no. When the Spirit will come, he'll convince you of your sin in not believing on me. That's not my theology. That's Christ. John 16, verse 9. That's the one thing you must attend to. If you've got a problem and you cannot get over that problem, your one big sin is still unbelief. You'll never get over your problem until you get over your unbelief. Satan, the previous verse, is telling us that the God of this world, Satan, the God of this world, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, in case they'll do what? Well, read it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. The devils in hell are running about trying to stop people believing in Jesus. And he's blinding their minds to stop the light shining into their dark minds, where they can get relief and deliverance from their problem and their sin. They are, as it were, full time engaged in distracting you from that one thing. If you have understood tonight that the one thing you must attend to as an unbeliever is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the devils in hell will be going about to distract you. They'll be going about to try to get you to, if you're a young person, it's almost certain. But they'll say, now look, that's okay, that's fine. But wait till you're a bit older. You're too young. Don't throw away your life. Satan tries to distract. And Satan tries to get you to delay. And you know, he's only got to do it one at a time. You might decide tonight to go home and make sure that you get this one thing needful. Then Satan will say to you, wait on the new year. Wait on the new year. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your new year. And all he's got to do is get you to put it off for the time being. He doesn't need to get you to put it off for years and years. Just put it off for the moment. That's all he's got to do. Very, very subtle is Satan the devil. Very, very experienced. He's been at it for thousands of years. And will I tell you something else about Satan? You see, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And one of the things about the rulers of the darkness of this age, one of the things about Satan is this: he never tires. You and I tire, don't we? You and I get fed up doing the same old thing. Maybe you try to persuade somebody to do something or buy something, and you get cheesed off. You get fed up. You give it up. Not the devils. Not the devils. They never, ever tire. we wrestle. But you and I are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood tire. Devils don't tire. Remember when the devil took on Christ in the wilderness? We tend to think it was just three temptations. No, no, no. 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, what drove him away? The Word of God. Would you ever think of getting Satan to stop harassing you with a verse from Deuteronomy? Do you know Deuteronomy that well? Christ did. He sent him away three times with three verses from Deuteronomy. But you notice what the Bible, how the Bible puts it. Oh, when he drove him away, it says he drove him away for a season, not for good, but for a season. Satan leaves, but it's to come back. And listen, Christian friend, if this devil did not leave the Son of God for good, do you think he's going to stop harassing you for good? If he kept coming back to Christ, if he kept thinking he could tempt Christ eventually, do you think he's going to stop tempting you? Just be alert. Just be aware to it. He won't give up trying to tempt you. Darkness of mind. But you know something? That's where it starts. But you know that's not the end. The Bible also speaks of darkness of heart. Their foolish heart was darkened because of the blindness of their heart. You see, it's not just your eyes that need to be opened. It's not just your understanding that needs to be opened. It's our hearts that need to be opened as well. Don't you remember the first time you were convicted? The first time you realized you were a sinner? The first time you realized you would have to stop doing something? Do you remember the reaction? Yes, I know I should stop it, but I don't want to. I don't want to give this up. See the problem? It's not just your mind. That's where it begins. You don't see your danger. You don't understand your danger, first of all. But then once you do understand the danger, and once you do see your sinfulness, you don't want to change your lifestyle. You don't want to change your habits. The problem? Hardness of heart. Ultimately, the problem is not lack of intelligence. Ultimately, it's hardness of heart. I want my own way. Isn't that it? You don't need to be a big sinner to go to hell. You just need to insist on your own way. That's all you need to do. Insist on your own way. We've been created to go God's way. We've been created to please God, not to please ourselves. Hardness of heart. Darkness. Darkness of mind. Darkness of heart. But you know the really solemn thing about darkness? Jesus told us and tells us in that famous chapter, John chapter 3, verse 19, he says, an astonishing thing. After all was said about darkness, darkness of mind, darkness of heart, Jesus said, men prefer darkness rather than light. Oh, what do you make of that? Jesus said, men prefer darkness to light. How's that for corruption? How's that for pollution? That's you. That's me. By nature. You ask, now, why is that? Why is it the human race prefer darkness to light? Well, Jesus went on to tell us. Because, he said, because their deeds are evil. That's not me. That's Jesus. That's the Son of God explaining the situation. Explaining the truth. Well, I began by saying there are two reasons why men do not see. And one is because they're in darkness. But you know, there's another reason why we do not see. Men and women do not see because they are blind. You can take a blind man out into the open field at 12 o'clock on the summer solstice day, 22nd of June. Take him out to the field and tell him to look up at the sun and ask him, what do you see? He's got no eyes. He's eyeless. He sees nothing. And the light is shining and he can't see it. He's blind. Totally blind. You know, they tell me, I'm not a doctor and I'm not an optician, so I don't really know, but they do tell me that there really is only one test you can give for blindness, for true blindness. And that is, you take the person into a dark room. You close all the doors, you close all the curtains, you make sure there's no light getting into the dark room, and then you shine a torch and you say to the person, can you see the light shining in the darkness? And if you cannot see the light of the torch shining in the darkness, you really are blind. What a spiritual lesson there is there for you and for me. Jesus said, I am the light of this dark world. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus? If not, you're blind. You're in real darkness as well. You're in the two things. And all this, of course, was predicted by the Old Testament. It was. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen the great light? Have you seen the great light in the darkness? Have you seen Christ? A light. Jesus is, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for the covenant for the people, for a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. And he said, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will make darkness light before them. Can you see Christ in all the darkness? Can you see him? I have come a light into this dark world. Well, surely we must close by saying something about Christ, who is the light of this dark world, the light shining in this world. Christ is the source of all light. The source of light, of all light, is Christ. Three things I want to close with by saying about Christ as the light of the world. First, Christ gives light. He gives it to others. Only Christ can give you light. As we mentioned already, light is much more powerful than darkness. I read recently that light travels at 83,000 miles a second. You got that? Light travels at 83,000 miles per second. Darkness has no movement to be measured. Darkness has no movement to be measured. Light travels at 83,000 miles a second. The source of light is Christ, and here's the good news. He gives light. But here's a second thing. It's not just that Christ gives out light, that he gifts light. It's that Christ gives light to sinners, not to the righteous, not to good people, not to those who are doing their best, trying hard. Christ gives light to sinners, to those who sit in darkness. Have you discovered tonight that you're in darkness? Have you discovered tonight that you're blind? Spiritually blind. What hope there is for you? What hope there is for you? If you realize that you're in darkness, if you confess that you are spiritually blind and spiritually bankrupt, what hope there is for you. I plead with you, number yourself among the blind. Number yourself, in fact, among the disobedient. Number yourself amongst the wicked. Number yourself amongst the unworthy, and there's tremendous hope for you. But deny that and say, well, look, what have I done wrong in my life? Have that attitude. Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. You've heard here of Rabbi Duncan. Do you know what he said once? Rabbi Duncan is recorded as being saying on one occasion, my only hope is my sin.
Christ died for sinners. Therefore, there's hope for me. Can you identify with that? Can you identify with that? My friend, make yourself a sinner and there's hope for you. You know, you listen to all these scandals in the newspaper, especially amongst politicians, and they're bending over backwards to call their behaviour everything but sin. Oh, it was a great error of judgment. Oh, it was a terrible mistake. Listen, just call it sin, and all can be forgiven. Just call it sin, and all can be forgiven. Deny you're a sinner and you have problems. But just call yourself a sinner. Christ died for sinners. My last point is this. Jesus Christ can give you light in one moment. And when he gives you light, he gives you light forever. Forever. And that's something Satan cannot say to you. Satan, you know, can say truthfully, you're in my hands. I've got you. He can say that to you. But he cannot say to you, I've got you forever. Because who knows when the light will shine in the darkness and you'll be plucked as a brand out of the fire. But when Christ has you in his hand, he says, no one, no one, but no one can pluck you out of my hand. Christ gives light only to sinners. And he gives it to them in one moment. And he gives it to them forever. What's your prayer tonight? Are you going to go home and not pray? Lord, may Christ awaken me out of sleep and give me light. Christ is the light of the world. And he has come into the world so that whoever believes upon me will not abide in darkness. May God, the Holy Spirit, make his truth effectual to every one of us. Let's pray.